And it referenced it, and I believe it, at our greatest effort of worshiping him, it never really put him where he really belongs. Amen. We only have so many words that that we can use, that we have the ability to use, that our minds, some of you know more, I guess you would know maybe a bigger word than another, or more, I guess you'd say, a deeper, more advanced vocabulary. But even the most brilliant of minds doesn't have a vocabulary great enough to give him what he deserves. Amen. But I'm glad that he'll accept what I do have. Amen. And I can lift him as high as he should be, but if I can lift him as high as I can, I think that's all that it requires. He's inhabited that as I've done it in my walk when we lift him up, and I'm thankful for it. I always want to put him where he belongs. Amen. Out front. Amen. I don't want him ever having to run me down trying to find a place in my life. Amen. I want to be able to allow him to rule and reign. And I just appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate the children singing. I love children. Amen. I appreciate children allowing them to be a part. We've got quite a few little ones in our church. They like to sing. Sometimes they sing them same Sunday school songs over and over, but we just get in and let them sing them. Amen. I want them to be a part. Amen. I think somebody may have told my pawpaw one time, you can't make adults out of children, maybe make them do a part. And he may have asked him, well, what do you make them out of? Amen. What else would you make a kid, an adult out of? But you got to have a kid to make one. But I want them to be a part. But you know, at the same time, I love old people too. And I don't mean that with any type of disrespect. I love young people because I was one. Amen. I like old people because I'm going to be one. Amen. I look forward to it. I'm going to try to get old if the Lord will let me. I'm not looking for the quick route out. The coming of the Lord I'll take. But other than that, I want to hang around. I enjoy life. I enjoy living. And I just appreciate the Lord. Me and my brother talking just prior to service. And I just think, you know, I appreciate elders and others of you. I see you here, and I've seen you here this weekend. I appreciate elders that will just get in and just support the work. Amen. Young people that will jump in. But elder people that will be a backbone, say, we'll stand for it. We'll support it. We'll give you a place to worship. Amen. And I do. It takes us all, doesn't it? Amen. Every age group has an important role in the work of the Lord. And I believe we've seen that this week. Just so thankful to have been here. Amen. You won't know what to think when somebody from Virginia gets up and gets to preaching and they talk your language again. But anyway, man, we've been blessed. Brother Austin just blessed us in his preaching and the fellowship. I've enjoyed his fellowship. You others, pastor, different ones all throughout. You that have come from other churches, pastors, I'm not going to get in trouble and try to call names. But you know who you are. And I, people drove a good distance to be here in this meeting. And I appreciate it. I pray that when you leave here, amen, you might not be everywhere you're trying to get to with the Lord, but I trust you'll be able to say, I made progress this weekend. I went forward this weekend, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Everything that's been done for our family, and we're just having a time. Amen. We're just revivalcationing, and we're having a great time. I love the Lord. Amen. I love church. And you know, a lot of people thinks when we get up, I talk about my grandparents, my pawpaw, I call him. He got saved somewhere 8, 9, 10, 12, somewhere in that range of life. He lived to about 91 or 92, so he lived about 80 years for the Lord nearly. At the minimum, I think it would have been about 80 years he lived for the Lord. Amen. And so some would be, when we hear us say that, would have think, well, that's all that's all he knows. And he's been like this his whole life. I really hadn't. Amen. And I know the life of that runaway. I know the one that you know, and sometimes we see that, we dress it up, and everybody thinks, man, that's all they know, so it's easy to them. And just because it's all I've ever known doesn't mean that's all I've ever been. And I know the Lord saved me at 23, called me to preach sometime between then and 30, but I finally surrendered at 30. Amen, and started preaching, and just found out this week when we got to talking, Brother Derek, pastor, myself, all started preaching the same year. Amen. 15 years. We all 15 years into this thing. Amen. So if we get together, we can say the preachers of that meeting, they're 45 years worth of experience in the preachers this week. Amen. We just add them all together. Amen. But thank you so much. Amen. I know you're tired. We're tired in body. Some of you didn't get much more than an advanced nap last night. But you're here. Listen, if I took the time to get up and put my clothes on and drive here and gather and sit to the point that we're at now, I'd hate to leave saying that's all I done Saturday was put forth a bunch of effort and that's all I done. Amen. I want to have church. I want the Lord to touch us today. Amen. I believe He wants to touch us. Amen. If I've missed anything, thank you so much, man. Meals, just everything's been outstanding. I feasted on the fellowship, though I've really enjoyed it, and I'm thankful, so thankful for it. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I say Sister Kayla was telling me at different types of messages, there'd be different types of altar music going on, and she's kind of playing it out by ear to know who's going where. And I imagine when I say the book of Acts, automatically that clicks something. Okay, I know what's fixing to happen here. Amen. I would like to say this to you today, and it doesn't matter to me if you're young or old. It doesn't, at the smallest to the eldest. If you don't have the baptism, I'd like to encourage you, seek after it. Long for it. Do whatever. You don't have never really desired it. Just ask God. God, put something in me that makes me miserable till I start seeking after it. Till I long for it. Till I lose sleep over the thought of not having it. And I'm not saying that it's something that you have to have. I wouldn't be. But I can tell you this. It'll make this journey more able for you to walk. It'll make this battle more able for you to be a conqueror in. And somebody, I believe it was, asked my pawpaw one time. And he may have heard it other, but he used it. Can you make it to heaven without the Holy Ghost? He said, I don't even want to go to the grocery store without it. Amen. What he was saying was, I want it to be ingrained in my every move I make. I want the Holy Ghost to be a part of my life. You see some rejoice in it, and you see that, you think, well, I don't know that that's a requirement of mine. But I'm telling you when it's the greatest. When you lay on your pillow at night, tears are running down both of your cheeks. That's when He's the greatest. Amen. It isn't that He run. I run down the aisle after that He met me when my tears is running down on my pillow. Amen. And so I want to encourage you. Seek the baptism. Young people, you'll be greater than you could ever imagine if you just seek after the things of God. And I believe He'll make a difference in you. Let's read. Amen. I just want to read one verse to you, then we're going to go on and make mention some other places, but let's just read here in verse 12. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. The Bible says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. I want to preach this morning, the Lord will help me. And I did. Now, this isn't where I got this at, you know, but I guess we've all heard messages preached to this. It may be, and I heard it so long ago. I heard Brother Kevin Webster one time preach one of the great messages that I've ever heard. And he preached on a Sabbath journey or a Sunday drive. Amen. Do you got a purpose or are you just wondering? Amen. But I'd like to preach this morning, the Lord will help me on it's not that far away. Amen. It's not that far away. Now, when we get to this place, you know as well as I do, if you've read very much in the Bible, you know, and most of the time you've got up early on a Saturday morning to go to church, you've got a general knowledge of the Bible and or an understanding. You've heard some about it. And that all throughout that Christ made it a point to let them know. There's something that's going to come and be made available to you. You're going to want to take advantage of it. Amen? If I ought to tell you this morning that pastor's going to give the first man or the first boy or girl that gets to the altar this morning, he's going to give you $100 bill. Hey, not the preacher, the pastor. Amen. Going to give you $100 bill. Amen. Hey, you know what you would do? It wouldn't matter if you was on the other side of the gym. It wouldn't matter if you was across the parking lot or if you were sitting here with my brothers on the front row of this building. There would be no distance too great. Amen. I'll be honest with you. If you don't come get it, I'm going to get it. Amen. Let's go. There'd be no distance too great that you say, hey, that'd be something. That'd be profitable to me. And that'd be a blessing for me to get my hands on. I'm going to put forth some effort, and I'm going to get it. Now, the dangerous part would be if we just had $100 bill up here, we'd see some adults, we'd get out of their comfort zone. We started giving away money here this morning. Amen. And I'm no different than you are. Hey, now, I didn't go hungry on the way up here, but I have no problem in the world carrying an extra $100 back to Georgia when I go. And so I'd be in for trying to get that if it was being offered to me. And I know that's comical, but my point of saying that is this: multitudes of people along the way heard Christ relate and to tell them about a power that would be coming. Amen. From the place, what they say, as many as 500 may have heard him, maybe talk about it and share about it. And the sad part is that 380 of them just thought, well, it'd be good, but I've got a pretty good amount in my life now. I've been pretty blessed up to this place in my life now. We've got some churches close to home that, they're great holiness churches, but I've heard in knowing, and some of the people related to there that a lot of them grew up in a great holiness church, but a lot of their elders still don't have the baptism. They still don't have the Holy Ghost in their life. Now, when you see them in town, you know what church they go to. Amen. Sometimes if you're not careful, it ain't all what they got on. It's how they, how they interact with everybody else. I know pretty well what group they came from, that you nod your head and they just ignore. They look and watch you nod your head. Amen. But I can tell you this, that this Holy Ghost that we read about today, that if you ever been around somebody that's full and they're excited, that man, they love to talk to people and they're excited in their work with God and their walk with God. But Christ told that, and not many people took him at his word. Amen. Not many people, and I don't know for all the reasons, and we may get into that this morning. But when you look at this, when he let them know, and then it tells us that they did. But to me, the thought of them going and the distance that they had to go, it was something that was so easy to obtain. You know, a lot of people look at the Holy Ghost as something you got to go to all summer worth of youth camps to get it. You got to go to 3 or 4 camp meetings in a row to be able to finally get prayed up enough to get it. Amen. You got to go without food for 2 or 3 weeks at the time to get it. I'm not telling you none of those things are not. All of that will be a benefit to you. Amen. But my thought is you could have got it at the first youth camp and just let it work on you the rest of the summer. Amen. You could have got it at the first revival and just enjoyed the rest of them. What I'm saying is this: sometimes it's just a mere thought. I think I'll just step out of the way and take my heart to a place that God can do something special within my heart. But what I want to get at this morning, and I gave my title, It's Not That Far Away, is where he lets us know that from Jerusalem, from Olivet, was a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. Now, different ones of you all, that since we've been here, you tell us the places to go. And you say, you might have said, well, you just go right out here, you turn left, you go down, and you'll give me a miles. You'll give me a distance of travel that we've got to go. When you said it, but 2 or 3 miles down the road, I think, well, that's somewhere we can go and enjoy. I don't have to try to find anything. If it isn't but 3 miles away, we got a good chance of finding. Even if we circle a time or two, we got a chance of finding that. But if you'd have told me that, especially yesterday, we're in between services, that, well, now it's about a 2-hour ride there, and you got to go here and there, I'd have begun to weigh in my mind. That's a little, even though it would be a great experience, even though it would be something that we would enjoy being a part of, in my mind, I begin to think, but that's just too far for me to go. That's just too far for me to put forth the effort to try to go. And so I would discredit the value of the experience based off of what it cost me to go there, based off the time that it would take for me to get there. And so that being said, there's a lot of you today that, you know, we're from different parts of the country. Some of you may have grown up in the same church. Some of you didn't. But do you remember back when you were dating? Some of you that dated across those state lines, that when you want to go see whoever, these young men want to go see these young ladies, and you know, your parents might have would have said, but you know, that's a long way to go. But when you wanted to go there, you know what your words were? It didn't matter if it was all night long to get there. It didn't matter if it would have taken a day and a stop in a motel to get there. You know what it was? When you want to go there, it's not really that far away. Amen. A 300-mile drive, really not that far. When there's somebody on the other end of that drive that I'm wanting to go see. Amen. But sometimes at 5:30 in the morning, I drive about 10 or 12 miles to work. That's just really too far to go, ain't it? Amen. That's just a little too far to go that early in the morning. Why? I didn't get up that morning and said, man, I can't wait to go to work today. I just hadn't hardly been able to sleep all night long because I can't wait to clock in on my job. Now, if you do, God bless you. But you'd be one of the few that I've ever met that just woke up, couldn't wait to get to work. But now, I do like the outdoors. I enjoy deer hunting. It don't get too cold. It don't get too hot. I complain about it, but I still go. Amen. There's not a time in the morning too early that I'll get up and go. Why? It's something that I enjoy doing in my own personal time. And so some would say, man, it's going to be 12 or 15 degrees in the morning, not counting the wind. Well, I say, well, let's put on another pair of socks. Just make sure I don't leave my hood behind. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter the circumstance. I want to go, so I'm going to go. Amen. It doesn't matter what I have to go through. And I've come in before, and you know, I feel like our feet are frozen. Our nose is red. I had to get in the shower to try to get warmed up. But one thing I did, I enjoyed doing what I went to do because I wanted to go. And it wasn't that far away. Amen. But here they are. They're at Olivet. And it begins to give them that discourse. There's something great that I've got prepared for you. Amen. I've got to go prepare something for you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without help. Amen. You ever been there before? Some of you that work on the job? You ever had somebody say, hey, I got to go somewhere. I won't be going long. I'll be back to help you. And when you clock out that afternoon, you wonder. I wonder why they never came back. Amen. You begin to think you wasn't coming back to begin with. You knew you wouldn't coming back when you left. But thank God, I said it last night and I'll reiterate it this morning. When he said he was leaving but he would be back, I took him at his word. Amen. I believe he's coming back. But I'm thankful of this thing, that when he left me, he didn't leave me alone. You know, Thomas had trouble with that. Thomas worried about that thing. What do we know him as? Doubting Thomas over one statement. That's the only thing he ever said. But that one statement tagged him for his whole life and for our lives. Aren't you glad that you and I don't walk around labeled over instances? Thomas did. Thomas lived his whole life off of one statement. But if you back up to where Christ is fixing to resurrect Lazarus, and he's fixing to get ready to go to where Lazarus is at, and those disciples are scared to death. We don't want to go. They're going to kill us if we go there, in my own words. They're looking for us. They want us to come. They'd love to trap us there. Do you know who it was that stood up and had something to say? Not Peter. Amen. It was Thomas that said, let us go, that we may die with him. Amen. That doubter said, hey, if he's going, I'm all in. Thank God. So what? That lets me know we're not more like John than we are the other disciples. We sometimes are a lot like Peter. We like to talk out of turn a lot of times. But a lot of times we're like Thomas. I don't want to go if he's not going with me. I don't want to be a part of it if he's not going to be a part of it with me. Amen. And I'd like to say today, I'm not going to be so boastful and so prideful as it to say, I don't want to go without him either. I don't want to walk this road without him either. I want him to stand by my side. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. Amen. You know what I believe he knew? Somewhere in your walk, while I'm preparing a place, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need a friend. You're going to need a standby. You're going to need a shoulder to cry on. You're going to need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know that's Christ. But while Christ is gone, he sent somebody to fill that slot. He sent somebody to fill that space. And so when we get to where we're at this morning, and it lets us know that he even said prior to there in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. And so looking at that and understanding that when you look from Olivet to Jerusalem, and it says a Sabbath day's journey. If you've looked that up, and I know if you read one place, it's a little more. If you read in another place, they might say it's a little less. But somewhere in the general area of a mile from Olivet to Jerusalem, amen, they were but close to a mile from being somebody that hoped they could make it, to having enough power that nothing they ever went through would be able to take them away from it. And so here they are. But isn't it amazing that being a mile from the power that comes from heaven, and that many of them decided to take another route, and that number of people decided to go another direction. Amen. Can I tell you today, we live in that same type of an atmosphere that people have decided, I know Christ, I've been around Christ, I've worshiped with him, and so I really don't see the need to go any further, though it's not that far away. It's just more than I want to invest to get what I'm going to get out of it. But this is what some of them knew. Y'all know what happened the last time we were in that area. It liked to cost us everything. We liked to got into more than we could get out of. And we did lose our Savior. I'm not going back down there. Now, I can't prove this by Scripture, but just his track record, I just kind of almost feel like Peter in one place. He's thinking, man, y'all don't know what it feels like to fail. I done missed one shot at being there with him. I done missed one opportunity. And you don't know what it feels like when he gives you his word and then you fail on your end. Amen. I just see Peter begin to think, pacing the floor. Amen. You ever wanted to do something and it didn't look like anybody else wanted to do it but you? And you thought, man, I really wanted to go there, but I don't want to go by myself. I really wanted to do that, but I don't want to do it by myself. And I know this is blending in a little bit with last night. That's all right. I believe God wants us in this hour to make up our mind. There are places that we must go. I don't want to look at it as a place I can go. If you look at something as a place you can go, you'll accept it if something comes up and you're not able to go. You got a plan B. You know what you always do? You try it. If there are no plan B's, if I've got but one option, I have to go to Jerusalem. When we as Christians look at it as this, it's not I could have the baptism. I don't know about trying to live without the baptism. I don't know about trying to live without a revival. I don't know about trying to live without a move of God in my life. And I'm not so much trying to just preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, but I want to let everybody in this building know there's a place that all of us need to go in God. There's another step that everybody needs to take in God. Amen. And so when we look at that, you know, you say, man, I can't hardly survive after I fasted 2 or 3 days. But man, if you really think of it, that really ain't all that long. Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I could go all day long and go without food. You know, you can kind of tell that. I don't spend a lot of time at the table. And that don't mean I'm always on a fast either. Amen. It's just there's other things to do. Eating takes up a good bit of time. Amen. But listen, I can go all day long without food and take no thought of it. But if I go to bed and I make up my mind in the morning, I'm going to start a fast, God. I've got to get a hold of you. I wake up before it ever gets daylight, and I'm wanting to go get something to eat. Amen. I'm about 135 pounds, so it doesn't take a lot to get me nourished back up. But if I decide I'm not going to eat for God's sake, if I don't want to stop me because I don't want to pull off on an exit, I don't get all that hungry. But if I say I'm going to go without food because I want to get a hold of God, I'll be hungry first morning. Now, y'all know I'm telling the truth now. Why? There's something about a determination to draw nearer to God that draws the attention of the enemy that says, I've got to throw an obstruction into this. And so I don't believe there were anybody on Olivet that would have just said, I don't want the Holy Ghost. I don't believe there'd be nobody here today that would say, I don't want a fresh touch from God. I don't think there's nobody here today that would say, I don't need another touch from God. But it's the fact of the matter, what it requires of me to get there. If he tells me to stand up in front of everybody and just cry out hallelujah, I'm going to have to go without my blessing. Amen. If it requires me to roll in the floor to get the move of God that I've been looking for, I'm going to have to go without my blessing. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to get anything stirred up. This, I promise I'm not. I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm just saying sometime God puts a plan in our lap and says, I provided for you another place. I provided for you a fresh touch, but it's going to require something of you. You know, we live in a nation that's being ruined by people getting paid to play. And other ones getting penalized for working. Now, I won't get on my soapbox. My wife's thinking, oh, boy, here he goes. Because I will get on it from time to time, most of the time at my home church. I do have a problem with it. I have a problem with the welfare system of America. I don't mind saying it. Amen, because I work hard. Amen, and my check tells me we took some of that from you. And then I know people that don't work at all, and they look like they live in every bit as good or better life than I'm living, so I know, well, you're the one they gave it to. Amen. You're the people that took what they took away from me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't no different in this walk that you and I live today. There's a lot of people just living off of somebody else's prayer life. There's a lot of people living off of somebody else's dedication. But can I tell us this morning, it doesn't got to be that way. Amen. But I'm gonna, in the end, God ain't going to give the same reward as America does. God not going to reward laziness. God not going to reward a prayerless generation. But this is one thing that he did let us know. Ye shall receive power. If you'll put in what I've asked you to put in, I promise you it'll be worth it in the return. And I believe it just stirred a desire in their heart. Man, we can't afford not to go to Jerusalem. I appreciate my brother last night for pouring his heart in this altar. Those kind of instances feed this preacher's heart. I didn't even have to be preaching last night. And really, when it finally happened, I wasn't really the one doing the preaching. The Holy Ghost had done started doing the preaching. I understand. I'm not ignorant. I understand that. But it just fed my soul when I see tears dripping off a grown man's face and crying and calling out to God. But before that ever happened, I believe I saw my brother standing near partway out in the aisle, nearly back there. And you could read it on that face. God was moving. God was touching my brother. He touching him way before he got up here last night. He was moving on him way before he got up here last night. And you know, if you ever been there, if you've never been to the campground where we come from in Douglas, it's a pretty big building. And when I was 23, the night I got, listen, I could have got saved in a little country church with a bunch of country people, but I never would go to the altar. So what God do? He waited, got me down there in front of about 400, 300 or 400 people. Got a hold of my heart. And I had to walk to the altar in front of all them people. Amen. It felt like it was so far away. It felt like it looked so far to that altar up there until I stepped out in the aisle. And before I noted, I was piled up on the front. It really wasn't all that far away. It just felt that way. And some of you today feel like it just feels so hard to put my hand. It really ain't that hard to do. It feels like so hard to walk in front of everybody. It really is not that hard to do. When that desire gets greater than that distraction, it's not that hard to do. Amen. Amen. And so when it begins to be the thought, y'all, I just can't hardly stand it. I can't stand it. But when they finally get to the place and they think, people may be waiting on us, but that's all right. Amen. It looks like it's a pretty treacherous walk, but that's all right. But you know what I like about what the Lord done? He didn't put it out of sight. He didn't put it out of reach. He put it in a place from where he gave them the promise. They could see it from where they were. They were on a mountain. They were on an elevated place. Sometimes he gets us in a revival atmosphere. He elevates us a little bit and lets us know that can be yours if you want it. You can partake in that if you want it, but you gotta leave here to get there. A man gave me a picture one time in my field of work, cleaning out an old house. There was a picture there of Jerusalem. And it said, as seen or taken from the Mount of Olives. I thought, God, I'd like to have that. In essence, from where? From the Mount of Olives. And it had a scale, different things, or key. So-and-so numbers this. This number is this. And from the Mount of Olives, you could see those places, those buildings, those, I think it was for tourism, the tourist attractions. You know, the Holy Ghost for a lot of people is a tourist attraction. Amen. They like to look up here, get up here and watch it. But God forbid it make me want to shake. God forbid it wants to make me. Listen, you, a lot of you may know my Uncle Steve Willingham. He's the great, one of the great men in my life, mentored me. He let me live with him for about 10 years as a lost man. Amen. He took a chance on me. Amen. He invested in me. But listen, he remembered one time back many years ago, he's told that he had problems physically in his back. And he was in a youth rally, what we used to call them, or a fellowship meeting of sorts, where the churches come together and the Spirit's high and God's a move. And God dealt with him. If you'll lay down and roll in the floor, amen, I'll heal your back. Amen. Well, he's about this tall. He's got shoulders about time and a half, probably as wide as mine, and hands about time and a half. He's a big man. Amen. Great preacher, big man. Amen. But you know what? In all the years that he had preached, you know what God done? He told, listen, it wasn't that far away. Amen. He's standing at the front of that building, I guess. Right there's your healing. Right where you standing's where it's going to happen. But you know what happened? It just felt too far away. It felt too hard to do. And he stood there and never gave in to what the Lord was dealing until the service got low. Yes, who talked with him again? You're rolling that floor, I'll hear you back. Now it looks way further than it did before. Amen. You ever been there when you felt like, man, I need to testify? And all the way down, let's stand and dismiss. And you think, oh, boy, I got to testify. Now it really looks hard. But you know what he done? In that difficult time for the natural man, that big preaching uncle of mine laid down in that floor in front of all those people and just rolled over, drove home with a well back. He said, I don't believe it. Well, I can't help it. He the one told it. Amen. Now, you take that up with him. I'm just telling you, in that moment, he was standing on the bench looking at the place of healing, and it looked like it was so hard to obtain, and it was so hard to get to. And sometimes you young people, I understand, it looks so hard to get to where some of these elders are. Amen. I know years of experience do bring a lot of things, but sometimes just a submission at a young age will take you further than you could imagine. Sometimes it's just a simple fact to say, I don't care if they laugh at me when I cry. I don't care if they laugh at me when I lay down in the floor. I don't care if when the Holy Ghost hits me, you young boys holler out like a girl, or you young girls cry out like a boy. Amen. Y'all know how I feel about all of that kind of, but what I'm saying is, the enemy will use pride to try to keep you from obeying the Lord. He'll use what people's going to think of you to keep you from obeying the Lord, when really all they're waiting on is somebody to do it so they can do it. Amen. On all of it, what they were really waiting on, who's going to be the first one to go? You see, last night, prime example, different ones begin to pray. Different ones begin to worship the Lord. The song service got during the altar, it just got to getting better and better and better. Now listen, when I grew up, I loved sports. I played sports. I played football, played baseball. Now, I wasn't no offensive lineman or nothing. You know, I had to be where I could run from them or after them. I didn't need a lot of hand-to-hand contact. But we used to have, and you know about it, motivation. When momentum begins to change and whatever, we could be playing yard basketball, or we could be back here playing. And if a team ever starts to gain momentum, and one teammate does something great, it motivates another teammate. And before you know it, they have a run that they score ever so many points, or something great happens for that team. Why? They rode the momentum off of each other. Amen. What happens is when one team A begins to do something great, the other one says, man, it excites them. And what happens is simply this: it don't make them a better player. It makes them want to be, it makes them try harder. It makes them exert more. They're the same player before and after, but during that from time, we call it adrenaline. Amen. It rises up inside of them, and they begin to exert more, and they begin to push more. What it really does is bring out who they really are. That's what it does. It'll bring out who they really are in that moment, and they gain an advantage on their opponent. Well, listen, us as children of God, we live a lot the same way. If nobody's praising the Lord, sometimes it's hard to. If nobody's getting into the preaching, sometimes it's hard to. If nobody's enjoying the singing, sometimes it's hard to be the one that breaks the ice. And so last night, the Holy Ghost began to move, and this one began to worship, and then another one began to worship. Before you know it, our ladies are enjoying the presence of God, and the men are enjoying the presence of God. But it's not adrenaline when you're in the house of God. It's called the anointing. Amen. And the anointing is our version of adrenaline, that when it begins to move on it, it really reveals who we really are. It don't make me a fake. It reveals the reality of who I really am. And you'd be amazed today, young and old alike, how close you really are to what you really want. He said, but I've done been in this thing a long time, Brother Bubba. I've done got so used to this now. But hey, it's still the same distance it was that day. Amen. It's the same distance today as it was that day. And all it changes is the desire to say, I think I'll give it a try. Thank gosh, I think I'll give it a try. Thank God for it. Listen, I've been off before preaching. We've talked about these long drives, but I preached up at Landmark a few years back after that Friday night service. I said, well, if you just lay down for a couple of hours, you know, it'd be good, get you a little bit of rest, and you know, and then you can get on up and middle of the night or whatever and take off back home. My thought is, man, I'm ready to go to Georgia. I'm ready to go to Georgia right now. Amen. You know why? My family wasn't there now today, you know, and or when we leave Monday morning, we'll just start easing back home. It won't be all that bad. You know what happens Tuesday? I've got to go back to a place of work, and that's something that I'm not just trying to say, man, I can't wait till Tuesday. I'm enjoying this revival. I'm enjoying this, but I can't. No, but I've got my family with me. So it's really not that big of a deal. I've got to get home. We do. We've got a time spell to get by, window to get back home this time. And I've got a man that I hope lives till I can get there that I want to see. But that being said, if they weren't with me Sunday night when we said amen, Georgia, because that's where they are, and that's where I want to be. Amen. But at Abundant Life on a Saturday morning is where he is. That's where I want to be. Amen. If somebody wants to come to the music, I'm getting ready to close. But they went. Amen. And I can just in my imagination imagine as they're coming down that hill, coming down Olivet, that people begin to talk about them and think, man, they're mighty brave to be doing that in this generation. Listen to me, young folks. Do you wonder, is it odd to the world for you to seek to speak in a tongue that you don't even know what you're saying? Yeah, it's pretty odd. But I can tell you, they're partaking in things, causing them to say things they don't know what they're saying too. And it's costing them their life. But it's going to cost you and I our life. But it's going to preserve our life as we do it. Thank God there's people that laid out all night long last night chasing what you and I have with money and with drugs and with illicit lifestyle. All I had to do was say I want it. All I had to do was say I need it. All I had to do was say I'm interested in it. And heaven said, I've already paid the price. You don't got to go to the back corner of the shopping center to get. I've already made the transaction. Amen. There'll be discouraged people in this meeting that it really ain't that far away to get your smile back. Hear me now. It really ain't as far as it feels like it is. And I know I'm going to discontinue talking about my brother. I appreciated his testimony last night to tell us this is what I battled. But tonight I feel like this is what happened. Hey, man, you know what I recognize? Man, 30 feet. 30, 40 feet from going to feeling like our insides are about to bust, to feeling for the first time like, you know what, I just smiled and I felt like smiling. I just smiled. I just raised my hand because I felt like raising them. I just said hallelujah because I felt like saying hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, that ain't the only brother here this weekend that's dealing with these kinds of things. But I can tell you, it's just as close for you as it was for him. He didn't send one group to one town and one group to another. He let them know Jerusalem will do it for everybody. If you'll leave from where you are and go to where I am, I'll give you what you need. Amen. Everybody that can and will, would you stand? Amen. It ain't that far away. I said it ain't that far away. Some of you is one altar call from a smile. Some of you is one altar call from encouragement. Some of you may be one altar call from healing. But I'll ask you from all of it, is this too far to go to get what God's promised us that we could have? Would you come? Who will step out this morning and say, I'm interested. I'm fixing to go get it. I'm fixing to go get it. I've been praying about some things. I've been seeking for some things. I've been longing for some things. Why don't you meet me here this morning? Why don't you just step out in faith this morning and find a place in this altar? Amen. Everybody that can and will, let's pray. Amen. Meet me in this altar this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.